brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone. Grab your cats, your squirrels, your dogs, and settle in.
Maybe not all at once.
You're saying a furry creature is required to listen to this episode?
Well,
you probably will need one of those.
I need my pet squirrel.
You need one of those emotional comfort animals. What are those called? Emotional
support animals.
Yeah.
I was alluding to what we're going to talk about today.
Beer?
Yes.
There's a squirrel in
creatures
my beer?
Creatures that give us okay.
Roadkill beer?
That was such a lame, analogy. Yeah. It's just, I know what we're doing, and I'm still saying it's lame.
This is the wrong crowd to be clever with.
Maybe we should start this episode over again and again.
It's not going to be any better.
Dad jokes.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. You guys are so tough. Or at least you think you are.
Burn.
Welcome, everyone. This is another Suds segment where, besides minor technical difficulties, the more you drink, the funnier we get.
That's true. Yes. That is a very true statement.
Start drinking now.
Yes.
Or pause the episode, drink a lot, and then start it playing again.
And boy, do we have some pet stories.
Pre-gaming.
We're not telling those rabbit stories anymore, Mark. We
always suggested.
I want to have a rabbit story.
We're banned from that.
Yeah.
Joining me at the table today is good old boy Dave.
Hi, baby.
It's not far off the real thing.
Love, true love.
Wow. Good old boy Mike. Hi.
Despite the repeated, injunctive relief notices that I received from Canada, I'm still here. So there's like a whole group of people in Ottawa that just are pissed. I don't know what it is, but,
Ottawans.
Are you afraid you're going to get yanked if you go too close to the border?
There's going to be, they're going to use the rule we use here in the U.S., and they're going to separate me from other people that have righteous beer. So, yeah.
I could see that. Canadian special ops team, all in denim coming down and stealing Mike and...
I can't envision
that. Is that a fresh hop beer, angry. Sir? Step to the right into the small room.
Sorry, eh? Gonna have to take you back to Canada.
So sorry.
That is not Le Blat.
Moosehead Light.
Ooh, that's
Moosehead Ice.
It's an experimental fresh hop beer.
Moosehead Seltzer.
Oh, God, don't go. No.
Don't forget I said that, please.
and who said that?
Speaking of which, yes. Welcoming him back to the table, all of us are.
That's for sure.
Long hiatus.
Ain't gone that long?
Is Reverend Mark.
Too long.
The Rev abides.
Very nice.
Do you have a white Russian in each hand when you're saying that? Bless you, my child.
In nomine patri et filii.
What's the Latin for hold my white Russian?
I can also speak Pentecostal. Just repeat after me. Repeat after me.
How do you say hold my snake in Latin?
Just say this real quickly. See me tie my bow tie.
We just lost the Pentecostal audience.
I'm telling you, it's just a whole group of people just dropped out right there.
We lost the Jimmy Swagger.
So everybody in Ottawa and all the Pentecostal just immediately. So
heat map of connections.
What's that like?
Just
four
dropping.
And a half people.
Well, maybe five.
Also, per square acre. Come on.
Rounding out the table.
Yes, is good old boy Drew. Hi, Drew.
Oh, hi. I'm I'm back again. I'm here.
He is.
Yeah. Is this now?
I'm looking at him.
That's for sure.
Okay.
This is now. And I'm Gudokal Juliana, in case you didn't know who I was. So.
Ooh. That is not the right button there, Dave.
It was.
Okay.
Everything right. She says is funny, Mike.
Okay. He's just okay. Going to run with it.
I thought she was everything. The boss. So, you
know. No. I'm not doing that on this show.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Well, I'm not the boss on this show. I'm just the...
Well, you're always the boss. All right. let's move on.
Yes, let's move on. Thank you. Today, it's another takeover. Now, not the world, certainly not the airwaves. We're doing a brewery takeover. What is this? Who am I? What am I reading? This makes no sense.
If you actually read it, it does.
Questionable. Mm-hmm. So we are going to do a brewery takeover today, and it's going to be on, yay, one of my like more favorite regionally, locally kind of breweries, Creature Comforts Brewing Company, that has been brewing great beer in Athens, Georgia since 2014. Yay. Before we go any further, though, this Sud segment is brought to you by...
Pull My Finger. It's the dating app for marriage-minded singles who want to skip past the excitement and, well, hard work of new relationships and get right to the good stuff. Forget the little black dress and go straight to sweatpants and an old t-shirt. No more glamour shot profile pics, no makeup, no filters, no problem. When you're ready for the real thing and you don't have time to stop and smell the roses, Pull My Finger. Download today.
Hey, good old boy Dave, why don't you give us some background on Creature Comforts Brewing Company?
Well, of course, because you're the boss, I absolutely will. From Wikipedia, the sum of all human knowledge, as everyone knows, Creature Comforts Brewing Company is a craft brewery founded in April 2014 by David Stein, Adam Beauchamp, Derek Imes, and Chris... Heron in Athens, Georgia. Those are a lot of words. They have become popular for their four core beer brands, most notably their Tropicalia IPA, as well as a variety of seasonal and specialty releases. The brewery is located in a former Snow's Tire Shop, memorabilia including the large outdoor signage and another sign advertising Michelin tires, Michelada tires, still remain. Keeping the integrity of the building's character while renovating it into a brewery earned the founders a preservation award from the Athens Heritage Foundation in 2014.
Now, wait a
second. That's exciting. That's exciting news.
No, you're saying that just because they left up a tire sign, that's preserving history?
It's a tax break, Mike. Don't hate on me.
Shush it. Plus, it's stuff they didn't have to carry away.
So you're telling me if I leave this tire sign up here, I get me $20,000.
Well, plus the other signs.
Also,
yep. So
and they didn't paint the outside of the building.
So I got to pay $1,000 to take it down or $20,000 just to leave it up. Well, yep. I don't do math, but that sounds like a good deal.
Numbers are hard.
How rude. In 2018, Creature Comforts expanded their production into a second building in the Southern Mill Historic Complex, adding 50,000, that's barrels to meet growing demand for their beer. It has plans to open a tap room and production facility in the Los Angeles Fashion District in summer of 2021. That's to appeal to their growing homeless and vagrant clientele.
I think you're confusing them with high fashion.
Oh, that's sorry. Well, they're
fashion
all
district.
They're all very couture. They're all very thin.
So. Indeed, waifish, yes. I believe, yes. Is the
underfed. So that's my bit.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's skip, you know, about 12 states in between, and just go right to California. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Good old boy, Drew. Help us out
California.
Here. Please tell us.
Bail us out of this.
California.
Now we're finally on to the beer as opposed to the signs and the tax breaks and
the whatnot.
Homeless waifs.
And Mike's terrible accents.
So today, the Creature Comforts Brewing Company beers that we'll be trying include Tropicalia.
Woo!
Or Tropicalia. however you prefer. India Pale Ale, 6.6% ABV. The Automatic Pale Ale at 5.5. The Athena Berliner Weisse at 4.5. The Bibo. B-I-B-O Pilsner at 4.9. The Silent World Black Lager. Ooh, I do like a black lager at 5%. The Glamour Muscles Triple IPA at 10%.
Woof. Dang.
Ooh. And the Imperial Trop Haze Hazy Double IPA at a respectable 8.
Oh, my.
You think they called it Imperial Trop Haze because they wanted to save money on the 4 letters?
Well, it would exceed my standard because all beer names that are 32 letters or more is not a valid beer name. So
32, 1, 2, 3,
yeah. 4. Have you had a beer name that has more than 32 characters that for some reason the beer gets better with more letters? No. It doesn't fit on the tap handle. It doesn't fit on the can.
I've never been bored enough to really.
I can't remember things beyond like 3 basic words.
Weinsteinbrun.
It doesn't rhyme with my favorite beer, which is free beer. So
how about all those beers from overseas? The brothers, one of the brothers.
Oh yeah, Evil Twin. They make crazy.
Yeah.
What is?
I went around the tree and down the whole beer.
Does anyone know what an empty New Haven train car means?
Yeah,
right. That's a lot of letters.
Ooh,
yeah, and it's a good beer.
You should name your children that.
29.
We'll be right back after this brief interlude with more.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone, as we're giggling.
Mike did his best Scarlett O'Hara, and it was
please.
It was magic.
Not again.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
Again.
Magical.
That's Tropicalia. It's so good.
Vivian,
oh, he's doing it again.
Vivian Leigh is spinning in her grave.
Wow. As is the other cast members. Okay. Yeah. Well, for those of you just tuning in, hi. Hi and welcome.
And please don't go away.
Please don't go away.
Please don't touch that dial.
We actually have something worthy to talk about today.
It's going to get better, I swear.
It's got to.
So we are doing a brewery takeover, which is always a fun thing. And today's brewery is Creature Comforts Brewing Company. Reverend Mark, would you read the Suds ratings? And since we're covering a Georgia brewery, please give us your deep southern accent.
Deep southern.
Deepest.
Resonance.
Yes.
Well, bless your heart. That really sucks. Give me anything but a bud. Number one. Number two. Uncle Beauregard, was that a belch? Number three. Ah, what a relief.
That actually sounded like it was a relief.
And number four, frankly, a body should never not make a sound like that. That's a double negative.
You're Southern, I'm not.
You were supposed to know that. Yeah. Yeah.
Like half of our audience didn't get that, but go ahead.
And number five, oh my, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
I like how you drew that out. That was nice.
It's very Long Beach, Mississippi.
Wow. Oh, Brad, Long Beach, Mississippi. There's something else dead in my cup.
These creatures are not giving me any comfort.
Okay, well, let's get to the beer.
Yes.
Well, it's a daggum time, y'all.
That's Southern, too.
Boom hour.
All right, let's start with the beer that started everything for Creature Comforts. You know, when I think of Creature Comforts, it's got to be the Tropicália, right?
Absolutely. Part of the story that I had to share about, you know, Tropicália was I actually had it in Atlanta for the first time on tap, and I was like, wow, this is an amazing IPA. I love the hop blend off this. It had great timing. I think there were a lot of West Coast IPAs that were, you know, kind of floating around at the time, and everybody was trying to figure out what was going to be their signature beer. And they figured this out really quick, you know, at Creature Comforts. But to me, I think the big thing that they missed was the opportunity to expand and to move, you know, outside the state of Georgia. And I really thought that they would have come to Tennessee or South Carolina or even Florida. Was probably my biggest thought was that they would expand, you know, to a neighboring state. And they just sat on it for like months, like 8, 9, probably a year and a half went by, and they just stayed, you know, in Georgia. And I was like, no, you're not going to make it for the long haul if you're just going to be a one state wonder. It's just not going to happen.
6 years later.
Well, they did expand, and they've added a lot of beer that we're going to get to talk about today. They still have been pretty slow to expand their distribution.
And you know what? That's okay, though.
Yeah, but they have. And I don't know how many states are in. I would guess probably 8 to 10 at the most. So
none of them are Tennessee.
And while we have, you know, definitely seen a trend in the industry for places that don't expand, you know, enough, there also are cautionary tales of those that have expanded too big, too fast, too soon, and crashed and burned as well. So, you know, kudos to them for making delicious beer for as long as they have.
And it is. Yeah. As we're tasting it here today, I love this hop blend. It's really good. It's really good fresh. I mean, this is a great beer. When you catch it, you know, in the first, you know, 2 weeks, 30 days, you're going to enjoy this.
Yeah, and I think it's always a balancing act between volume and quality. I mean, not, you know, I mean, the fact that it's fresh and it's local adds a lot to the pop. At least it tastes like that on this one.
If you can scale up and keep the quality good, that's great. But if you can't, and plus with a lot of these hoppy beers, if you're not sure you're going to sell it, and then so you push it out,
right,
and then it sits on the shelf with 14 other beers that are more local than yours, and you're not getting picked up,
or refrigerated.
When somebody tries it, it's going to taste like crap. So I'm with you, Mike. I think I would love to. I mean, if we could have been buying Tropicália in Nashville 3 years ago, that would have been freaking amazing.
Well, the thing that as I'm continuing to sip this today, it really reminds me of some other products that were released about this same time. Lagunitas IPA, I think, is very close to this. Everybody's nodding their head. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really see that kind of moving into some of the same space. This is a beer you're going to find in the ballpark. You're going to find this, you know, at a convention. This is going to be, you know, on every tap handle, you know, within a, you know, 300-mile radius of the brewery. I mean, this is one of those very approachable IPAs that you're going to find, you know, very pervasive.
It's bitter, but it's not super bitter.
Yep.
Got some nice citrus.
It's got a lot of everything. What do you think, Juliana?
Yeah, it's very classic, you know, and every time I drink it, it reminds me of the first time that I had it. And I was really blown away because we were getting so many West Coasty beers at the time that this to me was very refreshing because it had that citrusy, passion fruity thing. Also, at 6.6%, it
that,
will
you
sneak
gotta love
up.
That too.
Yeah. I mean, it does not taste like a 6.6. And you could crush a lot of these. And the cans are the perfect size.
Yeah, and the bitterness that lingers, you know, it's to me very almost like grapefruit. I don't know. It's
pithy,
it's a clean, pithy
yeah.
kind of taste. It's something that I could quash.
Yeah.
Got a
yeah.
mouthful of pith.
Totally. Yeah. Well, we are going to rate the Tropicalia IPA from Creature Comforts a 4.
Yay. Great start.
Really good start. And I love that we started with the flagship.
Downhill from here.
You know, we'll see, you know, as they kind of, you know, round out through some of these other beers, can they maintain the intensity of that quality? Yeah. Because this is a very well-made beer, too. That's the thing I like. This tastes just as good 5 years ago as it does today. And I love that.
Very yeah. true. Very true. Even with the expansions that they have done.
Yep.
All right, let's go Automatic now and talk about their pale ale.
Automatic.
Called Automatic. This is 5.5%. It's bright, refreshing, and a drinkable American pale ale. English as a second language, sorry.
This is a bottle with a message in, and the message is, beware.
They say it has a delicate, balanced hop flavor with aromas of berry, citrus, and pine.
So this is more citrus. Then yeah. you know, definitely the last, you know, hop.
Yeah.
All that intense bitterness has kind of moved almost completely out of this. This is definitely like somebody dropped a lemon wedge, you know, in your glass.
So the Tropicalia was definitely like a cleaner bitterness. This has got sort of, I don't know, almost an earthiness to it for me. It's bright, I will yeah. say. There's delicate, but there's something else going on.
I there. Think also the Tropicalia, even though it was very clean, it was balanced also in a malt way. I mean, not that I got malt, but there was some heft to it.
This is more
this is a lighter a beer overall, and so it to me it balances a little more in the it's not harsh, but it's kind of tilting in that direction for me.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, I like how the malt just kind of sits back and lets the hops like kind of ride on top of it. And you really get to enjoy them. And it's not overdone. What do you think, Julie?
This is another, to me, I really like it. An everyday drinking beer, not too hoppy. And I think very enjoyable for a good variety of people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, I wish they were all like this, because if they were, it'd be such a nice time.
You know, I think every time when I think of, you know, pale ale in general, I really think of it's the absence of flavor. And to me, this actually has a bit more hoppiness than I would tend to expect in a general pale ale. You know, if this was sitting beside any of the macro beers that fall in this category,
right. So like
you would
think
go,
of,
oh my God, this is so hoppy, yeah. you know.
So like think of like the kind of the hallmark of pale ale, which is Sierra Nevada.
Right, yeah.
I think this is, I mean, it's definitely not the same beer, but it's...
That's more piney. This is more citrus.
Right, but
yeah.
But you kind of get that they're both really well made.
Yeah, this is very a very well made beer.
Yeah.
That's totally crushable. At 5.5, you know, just hand me a pitcher of this, you know, all day long. And I actually like the fact that it's a bit more flavor forward. So
I agree, yeah.
Cool. Well, we are going to rate Automatic from Creature Comforts a 4.
Man, that's a really strong start.
It is. Well, they're both two really good beers, so there you go.
Can they keep it going, though?
We'll
I'm scared. I'm
little, I would be.
I'm a little apprehensive.
Looking at other things that are on the lineup, yeah, it's going to sink or swim on the
Once
black
we start,
lager.
Yeah, we're veering away from the hoppy beers for here for a couple, so.
All right, well, let's go Greekish, and let's talk about Athena.
Springing from the mind of Zeus.
Mm-hmm. Athena is their Berliner Weiss, 4.5% ABV, a refreshing, gently tart German-style wheat beer. Their take on the classic Berliner Weiss is brewed with a house blend of lactobacillus, which imparts notes of citrus, cider, and Sauvignon Blanc.
I get all that. It's not bad. I mean, this is not a bad.
I'd say more Viognier than Sauvignon Blanc, but you know.
Oh, sorry.
Sauvignon.
No. Wow.
God. You know what? We've already got one mic at the table, Drew. All right, we don't need another.
I like the lacto, and it's not as intense with like a lactic sting that that you get in some of them that you need to balance with fruit.
Lactic Sting. That'd be a cool band name.
That would be a cool band name. And I was thinking the exact same thing, but I think sort of the opposite perspective. I wish it had a little more lactic.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is a little more
more traditional,
a little understated, German, not in a bad way. Though, I think it would be a little intense if it was more true to style, but it is still within the style. And one that I prefer. I think I could drink a little more of this.
I don't recall a lacto in a Blenderweiss. Is there another beer that's done that? I don't recall.
Or including that?
I'm saying I've never had a Blenderweiss that has lacto in before I had this one today that I can recall. Is there another one that does that? And it kind of it's kind of like stacking on, kind of the mouthfeel because, the wheat beer itself kind of brings a creaminess, kind of mouthfeel to it. Right. And the milk sugars, that you're bringing around with, the lacto, it's just kind of stacking on top.
It's not lactose. That's not what
it's lactose. I think we were all sort of sharing
it. Am I reading this wrong?
Yeah. So there's no lactose.
Lactobacillus.
So that's the souring agent.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you now. And so I'm sorry, I was reading
this. It's the soured grain.
Yeah.
And I know, like, as a home brewer, a lot of times you would just add in lactic acid.
Yeah.
Also.
That was Dave's mistake.
Wow.
Jeez, Dave.
Yeah. What a jerk. Yeah. What a jerk I am. Yeah. Putting words on a page and expecting Mike to read them.
All right. I do like this. It's very good. It does have a creamy mouthfeel to it, and it has a good citrus overtone to it. This is a solid Blenderweiss. I think there's some fans that are looking at this style, and I think they're always looking for that tart fruit, kind of overtone, in a Blenderweiss. Plum is, to me, I think, is like the standard.
American breweries have changed people's expectations of what a Berlinerweiss should taste like.
This is a lot softer.
Like if you want the traditional German, it's a little more honeyish, a little way. I think even softer than this.
Don't you also pour it with a grenadine or whatever? I mean,
I think they're brewing beers for American palates, though, because the sour drinkers that I know, and I count myself among them.
Sure.
Even though I appreciate different styles and being true to style, and when I pick up a sour beer, even if it is a mild sour, quote unquote, like a Berlinerweisse, I want to drink a sour beer. I'm in the mood for something sour.
Especially if you're buying six of them. If you're buying a six pack, you definitely like. I don't want to taste history necessarily. I want to drink a beer that I want to drink. So I get you on that.
I am definitely thinking of what is competing against us in this market. And to me, the Orpheus, Blenderweisse is right there, right alongside this.
That's a great
and
beer.
I'm sorry, but mm-hmm. I would pick the Orpheus all day long over this Blenderweisse. This is something a lot more approachable. I think this is for somebody that's never had a Blenderweisse, and they're just kind of easing into it. This is something that you hand to that person, but for somebody that's really looking for something that's to style, you're going to go, this is way under what I was thinking it was going to be.
I think this is more of a tap room beer, instead of maybe a taken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fair point. And I say it's more approachable. Doesn't mean it's better on point, but I still think this is kind of like a gateway Berlinerweiss.
There you go.
Sure, that's a good way. Sure.
Yeah. I think it's a great way.
What do you think?
A great way to a gateway.
I like it because I like that it doesn't have that kettle-y-ness. Sometimes, the kettle sour Berliners.
It's just overdone.
Yeah, it is. And it's a little too sharp. I know you guys are saying this is soft, but I like the softness of this. And this would be a type of Berliner that I would like to experiment with fruit on, which I have a feeling, or at least I would think that at the tap room, they might be experimenting with different fruits added to this as a base.
Peaches.
Yeah.
Apricots. Yeah. And
so I kind of like that idea. You know, is if you think of this as a base beer in and of itself, and if you went down that path of creating, you know, whole fruited, you know, Berliner Weisses with this, I agree with you. It would let the fruit shine because the beer is not going to get in the way. It's not going to compete.
I think you could even just get a little juice and just kind of like what they do in Germany with the syrups, but just take a little peach juice or whatever.
Yep. I love the idea.
And drop it into
this. Use what's in your backyard. Peaches on Berliner Weiss.
Gooseberry.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Snozzberries.
Yeah, I think those are all really great choices.
Why not just go big and go persimmons?
Yeah. Ooh, that might be a little...
Well, the Athena Berliner Weiss from Creature Conference, we are going to rate a 3. Now, let's talk about their Pilsner, otherwise known as...
Bibo.
With all due respect, and remember, I'm saying with all due respect, that idea ain't worth a velvet painting of a whale and a dolphin getting it on.
Oh, that hurts.
Unless it's a velvet Elvis, but anyways.
Especially the dolphin.
Well, this is a crisp, dry, and classic Pilsner, a distinct continental hop flavor and aroma that is well-balanced, tasty, and crafted brew. Also of note, you wonder where Bibo comes from, folks? Any idea?
Yes. Can we guess in advance?
Sure.
I am going to say that it was one of the brewer's dog's name.
I'm going to say it's an acronym for best if bought on.
Okay.
I think it stands for somebody having a bee in their bonnet.
Nice.
I'm saying some sort of random rhyme scheme.
Wrong, all of you. It's coined,
but of course.
It's coined after Albert Einstein's parrot, which he received as a gift for his 75th birthday.
Bibo. I hear it now.
I can't make this up.
Way overthought it.
Someone made that up.
I think it's pretty rad. Okay, we'll get our tasting notes on this beer in just a minute.
Shipped.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So today we are talking about a brewery takeover from Athens, Georgia, and the brewery is Creature Comfort. So we are going to start, well, we're going to continue with our tasting notes now on Bibo, which is their Pilsner.
I taste parrot. Okay, now after you told us that, I can't taste anything but parrot.
Davey, want
a
cracker?
There's a dead parrot in my glass.
I know a dead parrot when I see one.
Yes. I don't like it. There is crisp, dry. That is not what is going on here. This is very wet, malty. It's very bready.
The finish is kind of crisp.
So it makes it more like a Bavarian lager.
Yes, it's too sweet. There's no way.
The it needs a hop.
This one makes the top 100 Pilsners I've had in my lifetime. Not even close.
No, but I would, if you told me it was a lager, a continental lager, I would kind of like go with that because I do. I get a little bit more of the malt, a little bit more of the really baked bread.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not as much cracker.
Right.
But
yeah.
But and you don't get that hop balance to it that you want in a Pilsner.
So yeah. I don't think that the description is matching up with what's in the glass. But when you look at just what's in the glass, it's a good beer. It's something you would order like would the five gallon load.
But, a Georgia brewery should be able to provide plenty of cracker in their Pilsner.
Yes, wouldn't you though?
Yeah. So that's right. I totally said that.
You went there.
I'm owning every bit of it.
Okay.
Somehow it gets worse.
Really?
Oh, it's gonna.
Okay, so overall, a semi-decent Pilsner.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hated it.
Yeah.
We're going to rate the Bebo a 2.
Bye, Bo.
Mm.
Wow.
So I had a topic worth discussing today. As we were driving over to the studio today, I saw a billboard with this, you know, ad campaign that says, have a seltzer, save a river. I don't get it. This is the strangest concept, you know, of feel good, do good, you know, campaigning by some PR firm that has truly got everything out of whack. How can you take a product that uses fresh water that they draw from probably rivers, you know, and create RO water, reverse osmosis water, you know, to brew with, and then send that to the very same people that go out on the river and throw the cans of that hard seltzer all over the freaking river. None of this makes any sense to me whatsoever. I don't get it.
I think, though, you have to try to put some positive spin on drinking seltzer. Like you gotta find a reason. It's not like
we will donate to the great outdoors.
That is the strangest concept I think I've heard Dave say. We have to put a positive spin on drinking seltzer.
I mean, like, hey, drink seltzer. It's got great flavor. No, look, that doesn't work.
I would say that your prospects of getting pregnant, if you drink hard seltzer, are cut in half. If you were to drink something else, that's a positive spin. Second is that you probably won't sleep with the ugliest person in the room. It'll be the second ugliest person in the room if you drink hard seltzer.
Drink seltzer. It makes your pee fizzy.
Yeah, there you go. See, now that is a solid campaign. Why do you want to save a river? That is just, I don't get it.
Well, you know, I mean, it's these kids today, man. What are you going to do, you know?
I mean, I'm just going to ask, when was the last time you were on a river, Mike?
About 3 years ago. I live on a river, you know? Trust me, I see the idiots that are out there.
Mike is very transient.
There's White Claw cans all over the freaking river, you know? Yeah.
Question White is, Claw. Which river?
Yeah.
What are they talking? What river are they really talking
River
about?
River Mark, you spent a lot of time on the river when you were a kid.
Oh, is this pet story time?
No. 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 No, we're not going back to Boone's Farm.
There was this rabbit named Trixie, and she was on a float on a river.
She tasted good.
We had a pet cemetery. It was at the bottom of the river.
Wow.
I just don't get it. You know, I'm sorry, but, you know, why don't these people from the PR firms call us and consult with them to come up with better ways?
Well, because of this conversation is why.
I always wonder how people get all these ad campaigns. Yeah. And I've sat in these rooms and they go, yeah, let's save the river.
But let me say this.
Like, and then everybody's like in a group think, you know, how many rivers are we going to save? We can make this a center point of this entire campaign.
Let me just say this, okay? If any seltzer companies did want to approach us, we would be more than happy.
I am willing
to totally go against everything we're saying right now.
I'm telling you, the Don't Sleep With Ugly People campaign would work.
I think
drink seltzer, don't sleep with ugly people.
I think the problem is that everyone wants to feel...
The world would not be populated.
Everyone wants to feel like they're doing something good, you know, so they're going to save a river.
Sure.
We realize that we're all just terrible people, though.
Right. You
know, so there's no need to pretend to try to do something good.
People want to feel like they're doing something good, but they don't actually want to do it.
I can put a good spin on it. Drink hard seltzer. Sleep with the good-looking Canadians.
Wow. And we're done. Oh, we lost the seltzer crowd and the Canadians. who we already lost.
I'm so confused.
Well, like I said, I saw the billboard. I was confused.
There's like a whole bunch of people in Canada going right there. What the hell did we do to Mike? At what point?
Where are the good looking people in Canada? Yeah. I want to know this.
Mike, do you enjoy poutine?
Negative.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. I don't put gravy on my fries or my cereal.
You're a Southerner. You should put gravy on everything. Exactly.
It doesn't go on my fries.
I'm questioning your Southern credentials.
Have you ever had hash browns?
Not with gravy.
Have you had mashed potatoes with gravy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's the difference?
I know, but yeah, it's a totally different.
No, not really.
It's a different serving. No. I mean, you know, one is crisp and the other is soft.
Yeah,
but let's say.
You killed me. Yeah. All right.
What is going on here?
The views expressed by good old boy Mike do not entirely match up to what anybody else in the entire world would ever say about anything at all.
Look, if you can come up with a better campaign for hard seltzer, let us know. We'll pass that along to people that apparently need a little help.
Hard seltzer. It fits in a can.
Yeah.
We can use the leftovers from our other brewing process.
In your can, never play this again.
Wow. Well, you know, it might clean you out.
So what's the name of the next beer?
Yeah, I agree.
Let's get back to the reality.
Oh, Silent.
Yes. It's called the Silent World. It's their black lager.
Been looking forward to this. I haven't tasted this. It's been sitting in the glass in front of me.
Coming in at 5.0 ABV. The Silent World is a black lager featuring notes of chocolate and coffee with caramel and toffee undertones.
It does not smell like a river.
They brewed this beer to dive into the depths of their love for old world traditional beer styles, specifically showcasing a type of lager that they greatly enjoy.
I would like a river that smelled like this, though.
Yes,
a river of this would be quite nice.
I love the aroma off this. This is really good. You get that roast malt. You know,
if that river in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, you know, if it was this,
I'm Augustus Gloop all day.
Yeah, no, it's very nice. It's a little watery on the front end to me, but then all the flavor kicks in. It's clean beer, which you know from the lager, but it's got a lot of chocolate, a little bit of coffee. Mm, yeah, there's some definite complexity to this beer. I like it.
It's just enough complexity with the malt, the chocolate. I'm liking it, but it's a little different than a Schwartz.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Well, Schwartz has a lot more spices to it. Mm. Yeah, Schwartz, yeah. Like all the baking spices and
your
stuff.
Your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Yeah.
Is it?
Whoa! She was so quick to jump in there, Dave. Cut her mic off, man. Juliana, what'd you think of the black lager here?
Cutting.
This is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely gorgeous.
Really?
Black lagers are so underrated.
Are you tasting what's in that glass?
Yes, I'm tasting what's in that glass. Black lagers are so underrated. I mean, it's light. And it's not too heavy. The roast on there is just gorgeous. It draws you in. But it's not. It's very satisfying.
I am with Drew. This is the word underdone is right where I think this is, because that first reminds me of a Yoo-hoo, because you get that watery chocolate, you know, kind of thing going.
I don't think you're with Drew at all.
No, I just like that word that he said, it's underdone, because I just don't think that it's embodying enough of the elements of a lager. It's their crisp element to it is not there. I just, you know, it feels like the chocolate and it's under attenuated and it tastes like a chocolate watery mess to me. Are you picking up
the lactose?
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate you stretching it all the way out for four beers, you know. But yeah, I think in the hallows of black lagers, I think this is just underdone. It's too watery for me. I was looking forward to this because I love black lager. You know, I think it's a great style, and there are a lot of people that have done this well. This is just not one of them.
I think it starts weak, but it finishes strong, is what I would say about it.
It's not crisp on the back end. It's flat, and it's it
just, I don't get that. Like, I do get like a nice crisp,
dry or anything.
I get a nice sharp, clean finish.
See, it reminds me a lot of a dry Irish stout, but not a stout. Mm. You know, I wonder. A lot of the black lagers that I have had in, you know, the U.S. market here in the last several years have tended towards more like black IPA.
Yeah.
So,
that's definitely not the way to go. Yeah, I agree.
I think this is maybe, you know, it's obviously come back from that. But perhaps, you know, we've just tasted so many IPA-esque black lagers that we've been
pulled. Their ability of making a solid lager is missing here. I just, you know, to me, you have to have a really solid lager before you even are going to drop in, you know, a roasted malt on top of it. And I just think the base beer here is what is missing. I just don't think this is a solid lager. I think they just added a bunch of chocolate malt on top of a, you know, a barely, you know, lager at the end of the day.
They should have put a tiny bit of chocolate malt and then for the color, just a little bit of a black malt. Just a tiny little bit, just to give it the color. And
Sam, I think this is perfect. I mean, because as a light lager,
you want the rest of mine?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Well, we knew there was going to be one beer, you know, this show that Mike was going to go off the rails.
But I'm not going off the rails. I'm just saying, I don't think.
Oh, you're off the rails.
It's not a good lager, and it's not a good black lager. That's all I'm saying. You know,
Creature Comforts, if you're listening, I enjoy and appreciate what you've done because I don't want a black lager that's really hoppy. I want a black lager that's going to be light. Because if I wanted it heavier, I would go with a stout, a dry stout.
I would like it light. I would like it crisp and bitter at the end.
And I thought it was crisp and bitter at the end. Yeah, so, and roasty. We're not counting Mike in on this. Okay, the fives are going to take this because we like it. Wow.
See, she is the boss. I told you. All right. Mike was the silent part of that world.
It's okay. I own the post-production editing process.
It's going to be a two.
All right, let's get all pretty now, and let's talk about Glamour Muscles. Glamour Muscles is a triple IPA from Creature Comforts. Coming in at 10.0 ABV.
Oof. This dog's got some legs.
Wow. This will knock you dead at 5 feet.
So their triple IPA is hopped with Citra, Simcoe, and Chinook. Despite the higher ABV and hop flex,
blend this with the black lager.
This bold, extravagant beer is quite approachable for any level of hop lover to enjoy.
I won't say that. Yeah. Like, I don't think that last part's
accurate. Yeah, I was about to say, your Michelob Ultra drinkers are not going to.
If you're a seltzer fan, you're not going to.
If you want to save a river, this beer is not for you.
This would jam your river.
All right, you can smell this beer from 5 feet away. It is so intense. It is definitely for people that are.
If you're not a hophead.
If you drink Maximus for breakfast, you know, every day. I mean, you know.
I love
this beer. This is your jam.
I love this beer. I think as big as it is and as strong as it is, I think it's got balance. I think it brings out the good things I like in the different hops they use.
Yeah, but if I knew, and I do know now, what this is like, you know, come in and I have some choice, I would start out with the Tropicalia.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And end up with this.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Because
this would just kind of like numb me for the rest of the night.
You'd have two of these and be done for
a
week.
This is a palate burner.
Yep.
You know, yeah.
But it's not a burnout. You know, I think
it's not bitter, like it burns you out because of all the bitterness. Right. It's just, there's so much going on.
You're not drinking fresh 120.
Yeah.
You're not drinking Devil Dancer, you know, it's more balanced than
that. If I drank two or three Tropicalias and then drank this one, I could still taste it.
Okay. Well, I thought it was like a wet black cat in a lemon tree.
Woo!
A beer she didn't like. Okay.
We are going to rate Glamour Muscles Triple IPA from Creature Comforts a 4. And last but not least, briefly, we're going to talk about Imperial Tropical Haze Hazy Double IPA. This one's 8% well-balanced hazy Double IPA with Citra, Centennial, and Galaxy hops.
Muddled.
Yeah. I mean, it's hazy and it's just, I don't know. It's kind
if
of
if you're
there.
Indifferent and haven't figured out what you need, order this beer.
It's trying to be too many things to too many people.
It's hard to talk about this one after that last.
That's for
one.
Sure.
And you know, I don't even get the imperial part of it.
But no, I don't either.
Yeah. This is, yeah.
This okay. is just a hazy version of Tropicali.
We're
going to
rate this almost. One a 3. Well, that is going to do it for us today. Yay, team. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
Tap that subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry and Aunt Susan, play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes.
We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipssudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at @sipssudsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll be able to interact with the thousands of other fans on the social media platforms.
And millions! Hey, and do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online.
5 stars.
That's a big help to us, and we'll get to see your feedback as well. Thank you so much.
Well, it's that time, good old boy Dave.
Hey, follow me on Instagram at good old boy Dave.
Good old boy Mike.
Hey, don't follow me and do yourself a favor, but I'll ask you to come back. Enjoy another great episode of Sip Suds and Smokes and to keep on sipping.
Reverend Marco, it was a pleasure.
This was really nice. Thank you.
Good old boy Drew.
You are allowed to drink seltzer. We'll judge you, but you're allowed to.
I will definitely judge you.
This is good old gal Juliana. I'm going to dry the cat out now.
Wait, what?
Cardi who?
I wonder if you can save a river with this beer.
I don't think you can say that on radio.
You might need to.
You know, you should think about it, you know?
Keep on chuggling, folks, and catch you next time.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see y'all next time.